This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Nā mai, haere mai, kia ora tēnā koe, Free FM 89.0 on a Sunday afternoon. Not a nice day, but wet outside. We'll check out the weather later. What's on my mind? The opinion is mine. Column comment in history. The 52nd New Zealand Parliament dissolved. The head of American political dynasty born. The death of American rock guitarist. New Zealand Hit Parade, chartorg.nz, history and song, September 6, 1971. 1 p.m, we've got a weather update, world politics with Gary Schofield, and of course we've got Dwayne Porter, Trevor's talk before 2 o'clock this afternoon, and much, much more. Oh, I forgot to tell you that, of course, the All Blacks lost and Waikato lost, so it's not been a very good 24 hours on the rugby field. But we've got something better. Have you heard the word entitlement? Well, that was August 2006 in the Hamilton District Court when revivalist shoplifter Kari Ann Tiny Moana Lee Nahiri was sentenced in the Hamilton District Court following a shoplifting incident at Kmart. Nahiri was caught stealing from Kmart during a shoplifting spree that spanned 3 months leading up to December 2025. The arrest, when confronted by police, she famously claimed she could bypass trespass restrictions, stating, "I am not trespassed. I was born here. I am Tainui. I can go anywhere I want." Upon being taken to the Hamilton police station, she was also found in possession of drugs, including methamphetamine, GHB, and cannabis. Judge Marshall labelled her her offending a spree and sentenced her to 20 months in prison, although police sought approximately $15,000 in reparations. The judge declined the order and she has no means to pay. However, she granted leave to apply for home detention if a suitable community facility became available. That's where I disagree with Judge Marshall's sentencing. She should not be on home D. She'd probably breach that and go on another spree around other shops around Hamilton. But the word is entitlement. I've heard this in court a lot. And I'm sorry. There are some people who think they are entitled. They're not. We are all New Zealanders. And it's about time some people woke up to find that entitlement doesn't let you go and shoplift at Kmart, the warehouse, any other stores around the city. We've seen too many cases of shoplifting in recent years. Well, Nahiri is probably still behind bars, and she'll probably come out and do it all over again. And don't, please don't, tell me that you're entitled to. It is 12:43, Free FM 89.0 on a Sunday afternoon, 249. It is 1:16 to go, September 6, 2026. On this day, 2020, the 52nd New Zealand Parliament was dissolved. This day in 1985, Michael Jackson and CBS Songs take over ATV Publishing Company, firing all the employees.
Your word is mine, don't get you right. you please, Rodin. I'm telling you, on how I feel, gonna catch you.
A 1988 film producer, ambassador and father of JFK, RFK and Teddy and other sons and daughters, Joseph Kennedy born. He died in 1969. South Africa, this day in 1966, the architect of apartheid, Dr. Hendrik Verwoerd, was assassinated. The Mayflower set sail for the New World from Plymouth. It was this day in 1899, composer Billy Rose was born. He died in 1966.
I'll tell you why I want to dance. It ain't the sweetness in the music. I like the sweetness in the music. But daddy, why I want to dance.
And it was this day in 1989, guitarist, singer, and member of Creedence Clearwater Revival, Tom Fogerty, brother of John, dies of AIDS-related TB. Let's go back when he was part of CCR. This is remembering the late Tom Fogerty.
Come on the rising wind.
FM 89.0, independent community media. That is up around the bend. The late Tom Fogarty woke up yesterday to find that two icons of British singing and acting had died. We'll tell you more in the next couple of minutes. But the New Zealand Hit Parade, chart.org.nz, history and song. Monday, September 6, 1971, Labor Day, 1ZH. 6 to 9 breakfast show with Russ Daly. Labor updates, community notice board. 9 to noon, we had Cassie Russell. Midday to 6, we had lunchtime music and we had community notices. And from 6 p.m. to midnight, the NZBC news from Wellington and culture with Murray Ingalls and Close Down at midnight. And number one in New Zealand this day in 1971, this was Tony Christie.
Sunrise, this is the last day that I'll ever see. Out in the courtyard, they're ready for me. But I go to my Lord with no fear, 'cause I did what I did for Maria. Town with the sun going down, all the windows were barred, there was no one around, for they knew that I'd come with my hand on my gun and revenge in my heart for Maria, my dearest departed Maria. Take an eye for an eye and a life for a life, and somebody must die for the death of my wife. Yes, I did what I did for Maria. I did what I did for Maria. Laughter echoed across from the end of the street. There was the man I was burning to meet, and my mind was so calm and so clear as I took my revenge for Maria. Fell to the ground, raising dust all around. But I knew he was dead long before he went down. It was quick, it was clean, made it easy on him, which is more than he did for Maria. When he did what he did to Maria, take an eye for an eye and a life for a life, and somebody must die for the death of my wife. Yes, I did what I did for Maria. I did what I did for Maria. Sunrise, this is the last day that I'll ever see. Out in the courtyard, they're ready for me. But I go to my Lord with no fear, 'cause I did what I did for Maria. Take an eye for an eye and a life for a life, and somebody must die for the death of my wife. Yes, I did what I did for Maria. I did what I did for Maria. Take an eye for an eye and a life for a life, that somebody must die for the death of my wife. Yes, I did what I did for Maria. I did what I did for Maria.
That's Tony Christie, I did what I did for Maria. Well, as I said, I woke up yesterday morning to turn on the television and look at what's happening on YouTube, etc., and who's in the news and who's died. Well, yesterday I found out that beloved comedy actor Richard O'Sullivan had died at the age of 82. He had been in a home for retired actors for a while. He had a stroke in 2005, which left him practically paralysed. Well, not exactly, but he was in that kind of thing. He was born on May 7, 1944 in Chiswick in London. He went to Ireland but came back with a very big Irish brogue, so his parents sent him to an acting school. And that is where his career, he was a child actor. He played in one movie, he played a dolphin. In a movie in 1957, he played a boy who was kidnapped because his father, played by Trevor Howard, was a spy. And then he moved on to other juvenile roles, other than Doctor in the House, Doctor at Large, Dick Turpin, Me and My Girl. Oh boy, his list is long. And one of the movies he did star with, well, he actually starred in two movies with this particular singer-songwriter and actor. I'm talking about Sir Cliff Richard. He was in the movie The Young Ones. Richard O'Sullivan was also in Serious Charge.
The young ones, darling, we're the young ones. And the young ones shouldn't be afraid to live low while the flame is strong, 'cause we may not be the young ones very long. Tomorrow, why wait until tomorrow? 'Cause tomorrow sometimes never comes. So love me, there's a song to be sung, and the best time is to sing it while we're young. Once in every lifetime comes a love like this. Oh, I need you, and you need me. Oh, my darling, can't you see? Young dreams should be dreamed together, and a young heart shouldn't be afraid. And some when the years have flown, darling, then we'll teach the young ones our morrow. Once in every lifetime comes a love like this. Together, and a young heart shouldn't be afraid. And someday, while the years have flown, darling, then we'll teach the young ones of our own.
Norrie Paramore strings there, Hank Marvin on guitar, Cliff Richard and the Shadows and the Young Ones, in which of course Richard O'Sullivan was in. It's a good movie, haven't seen it for a while, but the soundtrack has also got some other songs on it. Before we talk to Stephen King, Cloud Increasing, Shales developing this afternoon, and we have Northerlies, Monday, a few showers. Turning to rain for a time. Northerlies in the afternoon, and they're going to turn westerly tomorrow, so we're in for a bad few hours. Sunset this evening at 6:08 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow morning, 6:31 a.m. In Hamilton, our current temperature is, the current high, that is going to be 17 degrees, overnight low of 6, and I think it's about, I don't know what is out there, I'll check very, very shortly. Good afternoon, Stephen King.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, no, I've just mentioned the case about the shoplifter in Kmart who said she's entitled to it, and she went to the police station. The police found GBH and I think a bit of marijuana and a bit of methamphetamine. What's GBH?
Well, it's kind of like a modern sort of drug, an MDMA.
Yeah.
It's often referred to as a love drug. It's a bit of an inhibition remover. It's part of the cocktail of drugs that people engage in socially.
A party pool type thing?
Yeah.
Anyway, I just thought about it because I heard this when I read out there what she had been found at the police station. But overall, we've got rates of cocaine going up, marijuana, we've got all the leading drugs from A to Z going through the country at the moment and the world.
Yeah. Yes, we have, and there's no one definitive solution to it. We could do more because there's an increase in people who are using drugs. There's also an increase in people who become sick and tired of being experiencing all the negative impacts of that, and want to stop.
Yep.
And that's where the hard work begins. And two phases for the listeners.
Yep.
The first,
go for it. You
well,
talk.
There's two things. People only change and stop using when they choose to. There's no making people stop. Not prison or there's no convincing them. They often get to a place of being sick and tired. As I say, the consequences. The relationship with family collapses, unable to keep the employer happy. Loss of employment, broken down relationships.
Yeah, so what?
So we talked to the, I spend a lot of time, people call me because it's a complex, not over complex if you know the basics. They have to negotiate with their drug-using family member a process of looking at the problem. Is it a problem? What extent the problem is, and what are the various things that they can choose to engage in? Now, that convincing a person who's escaping their reality with the use of substances is not a terribly inviting conversation to have. But when they become desperate enough, often referred to as a rock bottom, that's when the family members can be there to love them, but also there to support their change process.
Another outcome of taking too many drugs, could this lead to suicide?
Oh, look, there's mental health and addiction and considerations of suicide are a part of the process for some people.
Mm-hmm. We really need some help from our MPs. In the last few weeks, I'm just sick and tired of watching Simeon Brown go around the country doing photo ops with staff and opening wards.
Well, that's what politicians do, don't they? They're wanting to get re-elected.
Yeah. We really need hospitals to have wards that are dedicated nurses and doctors who will get people off drugs.
Yes, well, you don't have to go very far to see, listening to news reports, the desperation and state of affairs in some hospitals and some positions where there's vacancies, there's not people to fill them, and even if there was people to fill them, there's not a whole lot of money to pay them. So it's a balancing act. And as I was coming here, I was thinking, well, I know what Bruce is going to ask me some of these questions.
Yeah.
The reality is, what I wanted to say on that front is, you can fool some other people some other time. At the end of the day, my betters tell me that people vote on the basis at the time for who they think are the best people to be running the show.
Yep. Hey, I've had fun the last couple of days because I've been fact-checking what the prospective MPs are saying. Some of them are still in Parliament. But you do fact-checking on them, and some of the stats are absolutely a load of bollocks.
Yeah. Yeah, well, this is the new age. It's kind of like, if you think I'm telling lies, prove it. You hear arguments about all of that. But as I say, the average person's not stupid. Mm-hmm. When it comes to tick the box, and that's the great thing about democracy, isn't it,
yep,
Bruce?
Yep.
The people get to have what they choose. Never mind all the party vote for this and that and how strategics and what have you. Apparently most people are not that that particularly, well, I'm not sure about not interested. They've got big enough things in their lives than to worry about that for another November 7th.
Yep.
And then we rely on the smartness of the average person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting too, and that organisation you've been a part of, and of course you've just stepped down and gone into kind of semi-retirement, but you've still got a handle on it. Are there vacancies there at the complexes that you have run over the years? Are there still vacancies for in-house treatment?
Well, it's I could do so much more.
Yep.
If we had the funding.
Yep.
And the reality of it is that people look at residential services for people who are addicted to drugs. And yeah, most people who get off the drugs and get clean do so through a period of taking time out from the community in a residential, yeah, setting with others where there is no drugs and there is no alcohol.
Yeah.
People don't pop along to outpatient services and get clean and sober.
Yep. Yeah. I've seen this in the face of Judge Noel Coccarello. He wants people, these drug addicts, to get treatment. He's a caring man. He cares about these people,
yeah,
who are drugs.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's the system he has.
That's right, the system. And I was just having coffee,
yep,
who happened to be with people at work, a judge I know.
Yeah, I know
locking,
him too.
locking people up is a reality that doesn't work often.
Yeah.
What it does is it protects them, the individual, and us from whatever they're going through, committing the crime.
Yeah.
But if you just lock them up and then you put them out at the end of the sentence back into the same environment with some money, what do you think they're going to do? They're not going to change. In fact, they've probably met a new crew of people while they're inside.
Hey, I've seen it through the streets of Hamilton here. I see the CitySafe crew chasing after recidivist prisoners who come out of jail and they do a crime and they're back in there. It's like a revolving door with some of these people.
Well, we're not going to solve the problem. Let's be clear about that. We can talk about this all day long.
Yep.
The reality is that we could do more. There is a percentage of people who do want to get their lives back on track. Most people, other than the narcissists, most people look down at their young children and want a better life for their children.
Yep.
It's because of their experience and understanding of how to go about living life on life's terms that,
yep,
becomes the struggle.
Yep. And, of course, another problem too is prescription drugs. You're given a prescription by the doctor, but then your life falls apart, so all the prescription drugs come out. That's another problem too.
Well, yeah, that's going on as well. I think we're kind of dwelling a lot on the problem because of where we've actually got to.
Mm.
We're a small country in the South Pacific. The Pacific people are quite clear. They can't stop the drugs that getting in here. It's just not a reality.
Mm.
And looking back at the times, you see, this is something. You know, we used to call it amphetamine. It wasn't called methamphetamine. It was called amphetamine, and colloquially it was referred to as speed.
Yes.
The effects that has on the human being is people get accelerated and they get all wound up.
Yes.
Yeah, and so with methamphetamine today, that actually goes very nicely with alcohol because they offset one another until the half-life of the methamphetamine wears off and then they become full-down drunk.
Yep.
This is where the problem in our ED departments and hospitals and anywhere else you care to name comes about.
Yep. This, of course, was most famous in around 1938-39 when Judy Garland was making The Wizard of Oz. Louis B. Mayer, the chief of MGM, was feeding her amphetamine.
Really?
Because the child laws in those days weren't as focused as they are today. She was being worked and worked and worked. She was only a teenage girl. So to keep her working, amphetamine, and then she was fed downers and cigarettes to bring her down.
Goodness.
And that's what killed Judy Garland in 1969. Drugs, because She was an addict from teenage years. So it's, yeah. So yeah. So kids these days can become addicts too.
We're going to have the conversation whether we like it or not. This is not going away. And as I say, my academic betters tell me that we will follow closely behind Canada and what have you.
Yep.
That we will have this ongoing problem.
Okay. Over the next few days, I might get online and check on who's the most addicted country in the world. I'm going to check that one out. That'll be a good one to look at. And
well, the United States of America is in one hell of a mess, really. But they're not alone.
I'm looking out of the United States. Yep, one mess, and there's one guy got orange hair at the White House. Complete nutter, but that's passing that point. We'll be talking to Gary Schofield shortly about that. Hey, it's been a pleasure seeing you, Stephen, and give my best to the judge when you next see him.
Yeah, well, I see lawyers, I see people from all walks of life. They're human beings too. Mm-hmm. They're having the same battle, whether it be justice or health or a combination of it. There is an increase in the number of people, and drugs are part of the problem.
Yep. Hey, Stephen King, come back in a couple of weeks and we'll do it all over again.
Okay.
It's a pleasure.
See you.
Righto.
Bye.
Before you do go, we've got to remember Richard O'Sullivan.
There was somebody else I'd like to meet.
Yeah, can you go for it?
Yeah, look, I have to tell you, I went to a funeral yesterday,
yep.
and of note, a man that made an incredible difference. His name was Jeff McMillan.
Yes.
Prison Care Ministries.
Yes.
You know Jeff?
No, because I knew a person who was one of the chaplains at Waikato Hospital for
yes.
many years.
Yes.
And because I helped produce his program when I did Tonic Time Radio at the Waikato Hospital, Alan came on air with me on a Sunday afternoon, and he did his ministry on air with me. And
yes.
And of course he was a big environmentalist. And I miss that guy big time. And
well, yesterday was a send-off for Jeff McMillan. He was a prison care ministry. He's a very caring man. He helped a huge number of people coming out of prison and reintegrating back into our society with a significant amount of success. And it was a wonderful send-off for him.
Our condolences to his family. Going back to what I was saying, Doctor in Charge, this is the first time I ever saw Richard O'Sullivan on television. I didn't know at that time of his acting as a child, but he played the obnoxious Bingham in Doctor in Charge.
His death was the best thing that's ever happened to St. Swithin's. No, I mean not his death, his gift.
I'm sure Lady Cornford understood exactly what you meant, sir.
Bingham!
Yes?
Don't you think you'd better go to the chapel and practice?
Of course, sir.
Get the order of service from the chaplain. I'll join you there in a few minutes and we can discuss something suitable for you to play before and after the service.
My dear Professor Loftus, there is no need to worry. I know how much this means to you.
That's the voice of the late Richard O'Sullivan from Doctor in Charge. And we'll find the theme from that particular series in a moment. But we're also celebrating Tom Fogarty of Creedence Clearwater Revival, brother of John. He died of TB-related AIDS. And this is Creedence Clearwater Revival. Looking out my back door.
Just got home from Illinois. Locked the front door, oh boy. Got to sit down, take a rest on the porch. Imagination sets in. Pretty soon I'm singing. Cartwheels, statue wearing high heels. Look at all the happy creatures dancing on the lawn. Dinosaur controller, listening to Buck Owens. Do, 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 looking out my back door. Tambourines and elephants are playing in the band. Won't you take a ride on the flying spoon? Do, do, do. One less apparition, divided by magicians. Looking out my back door.
looking out my back door, remembering Tom Fogarty, who died of AIDS-related TB back in the 80s. His brother's still going. He's over 80, and he's still performing. We're going to talk movies. I still love that fanfare. It's been through. I noticed when I watched 20th Century Fox films, there's names like Alfred Newman comes up. He wrote so many soundtracks for that particular studio. It's
your signature tune, isn't it? For I anything love it. To do
well,
with film.
Hey, well, it's introducing you. So I might play Leo the Lion one day from MGM. So. Talking movies again, you've seen a movie today. What's on the menu today?
I actually watched a little animated feature called Amelie.
Yep.
Which drew from both Japanese and Belgian writers and animators. It was absolutely beautiful and had some wonderful, wonderful characters and a lovely story about a little girl who was going to have to leave Japan and go back to Belgium, and how much she was worrying about that and how she'd lose all the memories. So it was actually lovely, a very, very gentle animation, pastely, very almost real Miyazaki.
No, normally these characters, they have European faces. Was that?
No, this had the... Well, One of the family was French or from Belgium, and the other characters were Japanese. So it did bring in that Hiroshima and the kind of hatred, I suppose you could say, between the Japanese who had been very hurt by what happened in Japan. And just the connections that can be made between people so many years later. Yeah, so yes. It was actually quite lovely. Yeah.
Are the crowds coming to watch these movies?
Good. Yeah, today we've actually got one that my husband's in at the moment called Whispers in the Woods, which is a documentary about animals and in the forest. And that has been really popular. It's just about a sellout today. We've had other films that have been very popular, and one that's coming up is Comédie Française, which is a film that actually works with the Comédie Française theatre group, and just they're rehearsing Macbeth, and apparently it's really funny. So that's something I'm looking forward to this afternoon.
Do we really have to mention Macbeth? I thought it was a Scottish play.
It's certainly shot all over the world.
I'm not suspicious, but actors... Basically, they say the Scottish play, they refuse to say Macbeth.
But there have been some real standout films for me. Fjord, we went to last night, and it was about this family from Romania who settled in Norway, and then they came up against the cultural clash between how you bring up children in different countries, and that was spellbinding, really. Yeah. And a couple of other films that have been wonderful have been Fatherland and Rose, both starring Sandra Hüller, who's a very well-known German actor. Yep. And they were both black and white, and just wonderfully done. So
it's quite interesting that when these international movies come out. Is there any of these movies just made with AI? There's no actors; they just got the voices behind them, but they're all in AI. Do you come across some of them too?
Well, not in this festival. There's one animated feature. No, I haven't struck anything that I would say was in that category at all this time.
And it's quite interesting that with the international films around the world, anything from Russia, because they keep their filming to the basics, and they do take certain themes out of their movies because it's government controlled, like in China too. And it runs up against the censors, so anything from China or Russia.
We've definitely got a couple of films that are about the Russian condition, I suppose we could say. The Wizard of the Kremlin, which looks at Putin, definitely is done from an outsider's looking in. And there was also another film called Minotaur, which was... also had a Russian-Ukrainian connection, which was very good too. So they're films that really have deep themes that you can have a good discussion with people afterwards about. So I think that's one of the good things about the film festival films. It certainly sparks people talking and communicating about some of these issues that are hitting our world at this time. But I'm looking forward to having a bit of a laugh this afternoon with Comedy Française, and just having and as I say, the little animated film I watched this morning was just delightful. It had a really good sort of outcome in it, and everything was very beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Your husband, he must be very patient with you as you go to these movies.
I love those films too. We've both been in the Film Society for a very, very long time.
And what's his favourite genre of movie?
Well, he's a bit like me. He's pretty, what we'd call, eclectic. But, he thought both the films with Sandra Huller were amazing. He has quite a serious aspect there. And, but I'll tell you one of the films that did really, really well yesterday was Foot Rot Flats.
Oh, look.
Remember, I think we talked about that last time.
If I have time this afternoon, I will find the Herbs and Dave Dobbin with the theme from Foot Rot Flats. It's here somewhere.
Yes. And apparently I couldn't manage to get there, but apparently there were a lot of children there. So obviously parents and grandparents are wanting to make sure that their children don't miss out on seeing what was such an iconic film in New Zealand. Yeah,
it's quite interesting because there's a long version of the theme from Foot Rot Flats. There's a long and a short version. So did you hear the children singing along to it? Because they would be. They'd enjoy the tune from the Herbs and Dave Dobbin.
Yeah, I'm sure they did, although I have to admit, by not going, I did miss out on that joy. So I will ask those who attended. Yeah.
And of course, coming in, good afternoon, Mr. Driscoll.
Well, it's so interesting to hear about the films. Once again, we'll be starved of... No, we won't be, because they're foreign films, that is, non-English performed, but with subtitles. They come in regularly, no doubt, in your Hamilton...
They do, through the Film Society, yes, we do. Yes. And also through the cinema, too, because some of the films that... screen will come back again on popular demand, so that's always a good thing, and keeping an eye out for them as well.
And so there are now, this being the last week of the International Film Festival, 16 more international and New Zealand films to screen this festival.
Yes, yes, there are.
It's diminishing the number of opportunities.
It is diminishing, but there's still some really amazing films to watch.
Describing the beneficial effects of cinema, the festival's artistic director, Paolo Bettelin, once said, "Cinema is a miracle, a healing force that overcomes trauma to bring comfort and hope. There's drama in life, as in cinema, but there's also plenty of laughter and love as filmmakers use irony and sympathy to resolve the conflicts they stage." A thoroughly enjoyable and very entertaining film comes with the recommendation of none other than Russell Armitage, well known in artistic circles. He was so delighted with it. The film is called Comédie Française, which translated, we're told, means French comedy. So it speaks for itself. And apparently the film is due to begin at 2:45 this afternoon. And finally, on Wednesday, at the Lido, at 2 p.m., highly praised by Russell Armitage. He says it's a gem. And speaking of gems, you know, that play of his, he's getting queries now from people who want to buy a copy of it. The play that he is the playwright for is A Czech Gambit. And I expect that it'll be produced again at some stage in the future. Well, with the international film festivals, they put a summary of all the different venues where the films in this particular festival have been screening. It includes the expected ones, but did you know that they have the benefit of not all of the films being presented, but of some down in Masterton? They've been watching the same films that are available in the International Film Festival list that's seen in the cities. And as expected, we have New Plymouth, Napier, Tauranga, giving wide coverage, quite major contribution to the art and culture of our nation. So we look forward to what films come our way come next. And we wish to thank Andrea for taking part, she being the faithful, loyal president of everything, it seems, sometimes. You've dropped a few things along the way, have you, Andrea?
Oh, I'm not film-going, though.
Yes. Is there anything you wish to add?
No, thanks for the plug for the film festival. There's, as you say, there's still 3 days of films to go, and I am actually going to see Comédie Française this afternoon.
Oh, well,
so on Russell's recommendation, I will be very happy to go to that
you
today.
You may not be the only one.
Yeah, yeah. So thank you for the opportunity to come on.
Thank you.
Hey, no problem, and hope you and your husband taking more movies.
I'm sure we will. The Film Society starts again on September the 14th with a Noda, which is 1,000 Days in the Jungle. So that sounds really quite intriguing. So I'm looking forward to that.
It's
Andrea Haynes.
It's a pleasure. Well, talking about actors, we did lose Richard O'Sullivan, the British actor, yesterday or in the last couple of days. Of course, we remember him from Me and My Girl and, of course, Robin's Nest and another. He was a child actor back in the 50s and appeared as the French Dauphin. And, of course, he was also associated with Cliff Richard and The Shadows. From the 50s, here's Cliff Richard and The Shadows, or they were known as The Drifters at that time, and this is Move It from 1958.
Come on, pretty baby, let's move it and groove it. Gets into your heart and soul.
places. Alice at Calypso, there were nothing on. Real country music that just drives along.
Yes, that was the theme to Doctor at Large, starring the late Richard O'Sullivan here at Free FM 89.0 on a Sunday afternoon. Very miserable day outside, and we welcome our guest very, very shortly. Just a reminder that Free FM is having an open day tomorrow between 1 and 5. Have you ever wanted to create your own radio show or podcast? Free FM is opening our doors, and you're invited to come along, meet the team, try out equipment, learn about training behind the scenes, and you'll find us at 214 Collingwood Street in Hamilton, parking right outside the door. And the team here at Free FM say, hey, you're going to be fed, so come along to the open day tomorrow at Free FM 89.0. Mel, our next guest
is Gary Schroeder. And Schofield. Gary Schofield. I'm sorry there.
Did I hear sugar?
That's all right. I can be all of those things.
Well, following events, it seems that one thing that is emerging as important in the legal affairs of the nation of the United States of America is this case that relates to, is it Illinois? And it's Lindsay Clancy. The jury were unable to reach a verdict, which means that it's declared a mistrial, I understand. And why is it so significant, this tragedy, mental illness and other aspects? It's brought it all out.
Well, yes, indeed. And hello, Bruce. Hello, Mel. Good to hear your voices on the radio and keep giving out these great messages to people. So in this particular case, it's such a humanitarian issue of mental illness. This woman clearly mentally ill if you're killing your own children before you even start. So then it becomes the issue of the nature of prosecutional, you know, being able to prosecute and put her away for a crime. Is she declared insane? There are so many factors to this that it polarized the issue in the country about those that believe that she may have done it purposefully and therefore is culpable as a criminal, and there are those that say, well, what a terrible tragedy as well, and that she's also obviously not in her sound mind, and she's paralyzed from the waist down. It's like one of the worst cases that you could ever follow, in my view. But that, to me, seems to be more of a distraction for all the major things that are occurring in the world. But yes, it is a significant case in the U.S.
And, of course, another case is the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And the judge, this man could be executed, the assassin of Charlie Kirk.
Correct. And to me, there are so many unanswered questions in that, but I don't want to get involved in the conspiratorial nature of things. But it just, a lot of that case doesn't add up for me personally. And so it will be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yep.
Especially when we have so many instances of political assassination in the United States, and it means a great deal to many people to have the correct answer and response.
Meanwhile, the wars go on, despite the denial of the president sometimes that they are, in fact, wars, but it seems at a distance to us to be certainly so, and very expensive. Do you know how much money the United States owes as a nation?
$40 trillion, to answer your question, which is a colossal debt. In fact, it is such a colossal debt that $11 trillion goes in financing that colossal debt alone. So that's just interest payments. And if you actually cast our minds back to like 6 months ago, when Trump was talking about this, and he was using that as an excuse, or at least a reason, or at least a logical assessment of why he was pushing forward with his tariffs, which came out, it's Liberation Day, if you'll remember, and he was saying that since World War II, the United States has paid for the defense of all these nations, who many of whom are now creditor nations and having the U.S. in debt. So that was one of his justifications for his trade war. But, you know, I must say that in terms of what is happening with conflict, there's many developments since we last spoke. We, of course, right now have just got another initiative for ending the Ukraine war. So you've got Kushner and you've got Witkoff, just finished talks with Putin. Now they're going to Kiev. So we'll see how that plays out in terms of any initiative that could stop or actually resolve that conflict, which is continuing to grind on. Lots of escalation, but I did think I would talk about today Norway, of all places,
yes.
Not the least of which, that's where my son Stuart is at the moment. And Norway features in all this discussion, believe it or not, because it's about international shipping, and I'll explain why in a second. But as we've warmed the Arctic region, that's now a major force and political focus of geopolitical conflict for Russia. It's owned by Norway, and there's a place called Svalbard. Svalbard, something that you haven't heard of, which is also part of Norway, but it has an unusual legal process. International law allows countries that are not Norway to access to that and to have to do business there, and that has been a major pressure for, and this ties in with Denmark as well, because Denmark cannot really defend Greenland. That's why the United States is trying to get all of its influence in that region. But what has just happened is that Norway has just seized a vessel, a Russian vessel. And so in doing so, Russia has said that is piracy. At the same time, today, we have the United States blowing up Iranian cargo vessels. So once you open that Pandora's box, if you realize that trade and shipping goes all the way around the world, any ship is vulnerable anywhere in the world. Yeah. And countries can choose to seize, attack, sabotage, if we're going to open that Pandora's box.
Yep.
So it's a very significant, you know, step for trying to end those conflicts while we're escalating it into a nebulous conflict around the world. And of course, that's very important to trade and everything else.
Anyway, just take a breath at the moment. I'm going to play this bit of music first.
The legend lives on from the Chippewa on down the big lake they call...
Well, this week, Donald Trump has signed the executive order. Lake Ontario is now known as Lake America.
That's true, but that is actually the Edmund Fitzgerald that went down in Lake Superior, just to make sure that we got that right, which last week I said we should call Kitchigumi again to make up for the loss of native... naming.
Well, actually, I could find a song about Lake Ontario, so that's...
that's perfectly all right. You did well.
But this thing with renaming Lake Ontario as Lake America, I don't know what the Canadians... I know it crosses borders, but I don't... Is he breaking the law again? He's broken the law so many times in the last couple of weeks. I think there's going to be rushing off to the Supreme Court again, I think.
So does it break the law to use an executive action? I would say not. The real, and he's used it under an executive order, so the president can do that. President Obama used 100 and something executive orders. It is commonplace for presidents to do that. The only thing that happens when that does occur is that Congress can get behind or against it and undo it, overplay it, or again, you go to different courts and have that undone. So having an executive order is one thing, but having it stand is another. And don't forget, Trump was successful in changing the Gulf of Mexico. So it can happen, but I'm not sure that it can be termed as breaking the law, which doesn't preclude the the possibility that he may have broken the law in other events, but that's a separate story.
Yeah. Talking about the law, courts have ruled that Trump has to stop gerrymandering, trying to get the lists of voters in the American states. He's been blocked in some states. Yeah, he's trying to manipulate the midterm elections, Gary.
Yes, and gerrymandering is something that has been going on for decades. In my time in the U.S., that was going on, whether it be the Democrats or Republicans, because there is a great advantage of where you draw the line. You can put a swath of voters into one category, and that will free up possible votes and possible successes in another. So, yes, it's true, but it's not new.
Yeah, it's happening here in New Zealand. If you look at some of the political ads that I've seen between the parties, they're firing off at each other. And when I talked to Stephen King, our last guest, and I said, "Hey, I'm fact checking some of these stats that are coming out." And some of them are so wrong here in New Zealand, but we're in America. So, hey, it's an interesting time. Next week, of course.
And by the way, I will listen to the podcast with your interview with Stephen King. I'm very interested to hear that one.
Yep. Next week, of course, is the anniversary of 9/11. It's on Friday next week. And
I remember it well. I remember the event well. I was there.
I looked down the list of those people who died from, they were all over the world, even from the UK, and all those people of various ages, various occupations, from newspaper sellers to the big boss of the company in those Twin Towers. And we'll remember some of the things of 9/11 next week.
Yes, I will look forward and prepare for that. But I do think that was a watershed moment, and it changed the direction of the United States and the direction of the entire world because of it. Don't forget, we got the war on terrorism that began moments after that.
We'll talk to you again next week.
Look forward to that.
Bye-bye.
Oh, bye-bye for now.
Hey, just before you do go, Gary, how did your afternoon go at Southall School? I've seen some of the photos. And
you have? Oh, how wonderful.
Yeah, some of the young boys there, they looked happy, and I did put a line
on. Well, it was that performance centre at Southall was filled with people. It had an enormous attendance. It was, for me, a very important day in my life, to have that painting unveiled for that event and it be a significant part of that 100-year commemoration. So, you know, I appreciate that you were with me at another important day of my life, and this is another one of those. Yep. So thank you.
Anyway, we'll speak again next week.
Yes, indeed. Bye-bye.
Our correspondent, Gary Schofield.
Yeah. Oh, turn my mic on, Scotty. Free FM, it's coming up to 1:44. We're remembering Tom Fogarty of Creedence Clearwater Revival. He died, I think this day in 1987, of TB-related AIDS, and he was with his big brother, John, and they did a song like this. upper, yeah, Bad Moon Rising. We'll play another tribute to Richard O'Sullivan very, very shortly, his most famous television series. Good afternoon, Dwayne Porter.
Good afternoon, troops.
Dwayne, it seems that you are seen as the model person to be a student, in that it didn't reward you well. Could we put it that way? When you had your adolescent exposure to the schooling such as it is in New Zealand?
Yes, it's the Open Polytech. They decided to put my article online on Facebook, social media, and I can tell you I end up with about 32 likes and comments about it, how they actually done well in the study period.
Well, congratulations. That's what every scholar, student wants to hear from the people who count. And in the course of this, have you come to any different perspective of life around us?
Well, I have actually. It's different between doing the first module to the second module, because it's all definitely all online, and it's the feedback is that you got to try to look for it and try to screenshot the answers and put it straight on the computer for your test assessments, so you can actually go along and do it. And sometimes it is complicated to do it. So that's why I'm lucky that I had a deadline to have a finish. I get an email from them the other day, so I haven't handed it in. I worked on it all day Friday, got an all hand thing. I emailed them back to say that you definitely will have it in through the system within 48 hours. So that is counting from now till tomorrow morning, and I'm just going to get it all checked by the teacher, and then I can send it away.
Were you put under pressure with that particular assignment or result?
Well, it's just the assignment. They're pressurising you, and they know that on that is A1 assessment behind.
Could you cope?
What's that?
Could you cope? You're here.
Well, I am here. Yeah, as you say, I am here. And
so despite the pressure?
Oh, well, there's pressure. You mm-hmm. know, it's just pressurising how much they can do for you and everything. And, you know, I got big shoulders, you know, and I can cope, but there's a lot of work you got to do. And lucky it's all in book, like they give you an assessment book. So the next one I've got to do is the online questionnaire. And then the next one is the next one I've got to do is quite simple. I'll have that one completed, and then I'll have that unit standard all finished.
The people who know you well, do they notice a change? Do they talk to you about that?
Yep. Even the feedback I get, even with the Open Polytech welfare, they know it straight away. Well, yep. What I do.
How does it make you feel, Dwayne?
Well, it makes me feel happy. Some days you just get stressed, and you get frustrated, but, you know, if you get like that, all you do is just go for a walk.
Yep.
That's all they say, go for a walk.
Or take a day off.
Well, you can't really take a day off. I've been hit up about it so many times that I need a break in it. And I even questioned my teacher the other day. I said, well, it's okay for you to say that I need a break, but, you know, you're doing the same, but you're doing different study. You still need to have a break. And she said, well,
do you see yourself as still the same man you were before you started all this?
Well,
yep.
I can tell you I am. And I can tell you, when I finish this one, I'll go and do the next one. And then I'll go and do the next one. Lucky I can have this whole thing completed by Christmas, I reckon.
That's the spirit.
They're pressuring me. And I'm just...
We thank you for the way that you participate in the program Cosmopolitan News and
Yes, we do.
Which, incidentally, if anyone's interested...
He's our bodyguard.
It's actually 30 years now.
Yep.
Just this last few days, it's been 30 years since that program went to air, and yep, it's kept consistently through
and
all those years.
I could tell you, if anyone's who is keen to do this online thing, they need to go on to the Open Polytech, .co.nz, or you can go on the Open Polytech.ac.nz and they'll put you through their system.
Yep.
And it's a free course, computer course, and I can tell you, if feel free, get the Open Polytech Nick a phone call.
Anyway, hey, we'll talk about it next week. Richard O'Sullivan, he's best remembered in this country for this particular series. Richard O'Sullivan, he was Robin Tripp and, yeah, Man About the House and Robin's Nest. He died in the last couple of days, aged 82. Good afternoon, Trevor.
Good afternoon.
Trevor's talk.
Thank you, Mel. Car insurance is an option in New Zealand, but I realised a few weeks ago just how imperative it is. I came out of the supermarket for my groceries and my car wouldn't start.
Ooh.
Not to worry, I got a card in my car from the AA membership card, the number, and it comes out, and any kind of car problems, free of charge, and get it up and running. Well, I was so glad I had that card. I dialed the number. Within 50 minutes, the AA vehicle turned up and got into my car and the way I went.
Yeah.
It just goes to show how important it is and how you appreciate it. Now, I've got a sticky battery at the moment and I had to call them again. Same thing. If I hadn't had a membership AA, I would have been stranded. I couldn't go and ask the person coming out of the supermarket or something like that. If you've got jumper leads you could use on my car, I don't think I'd get very far because I'd have to block all the traffic with their car as in a non-emergency vehicle just to try and get my car going. That's if you're very lucky. Otherwise, the car's stranded in the supermarket, the car park, for an undetermined amount of time.
How were people to deal with those with the AA in their service they provide members?
You have to be a member of the AA insurance and it's quite simple. Yeah. And if nothing goes wrong with your car, you probably think, oh, what am I paying them all this money out for? But when an emergency happens, you're grateful you did.
Trevor, thank you for bringing us part of your day today. In fact, Richard O'Sullivan was in the 1963 movie Cleopatra, which actually nearly bankrupted 20th Century Fox. There's a scene in the movie, in Cleopatra, that he's sitting right next to Elizabeth Taylor in the main role. And, of course, the shenanigans going on behind with Taylor and Richard Burton. Yes, O'Sullivan was the young king in Cleopatra in 1963. And talking about shenanigans, we're talking about Texas at Free FM 89.0. Have a good day. We'll see you next week.
victim broke my heart. And if I ever find her, we never more will part. She's the sweetest little rosebud that Texas ever knew. Her eyes are bright as diamonds, they sparkle like the dew. You may talk about your Clementine and sing of Rosalie, but the yellow rose of Texas is the only girl for me.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.